laying hold on eternal life. Some people are just going to float over the border of heaven when they get there. After they die, they're just going to go to heaven and really not have done much, not really laid hold on to it. You hear? How many people you think are going to be in that situation? Lots. Most. Not a remnant. Most people, they may get saved. They may make Jesus Lord. They may go into heaven and finally, you know, not go to hell. Thank God. Thank God they didn't go to hell. Thank God they repented and gave their life to Jesus. Why? Because that's how you get in. Some people are going to do that. They're just going to, you know, the Blake, get through by the skin of their teeth. That would be gums, wouldn't it? Get through by their gums. But this isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about laying hold on this thing. Once again, this is the kind of people we're talking to here. We're not talking to wimpy Christians. This is part of the slap. Patty cake. Slap. Where do you want? You don't want to be wimpy. Why would anybody want to be a wimpy Christian?
Just, well, I'll go to church on Sundays, and then maybe.
And I read my little daily devotional thing, well, twice. If you're going to be a Christian, be one. Sit up straight and be a believer and go all the way. This is the way it is. Welcome to church. Brother. I'm serious. Well, why fart around with it? Did he say fart in church? Yes, I did. And people can understand that. Sorry, Jane. Hallelujah. But we're not doing that. We're not messing around with it, are we? What do we want? We're going to lay hold on this thing now and in the life to come. And I'm telling you, you won't be able to lay hold on the life which is to come if you don't lay a hold on to it now. And to the degree we can lay hold on it now, it's how we're going to be set up for eternity. And this is big. This is not small. Because we can lay hold on this thing now and be set forever. This is better than retirement. Why do people want to retire here and now? I don't know. They got all of eternity to retire. Hallelujah. Back up the train a little bit. Slow down. Hallelujah. There's a borderline between grabbing somebody's spirit and shaking them up and moving them on and just beating them up. So I have, and I'm always right there. I'm always right on that borderline. But that's what it takes, isn't it? Yes. You know, somebody that's, you know, a karate instructor, that's where they need to be. They need to be on that right. They're trying to train you to fight. So if they're just patty caking you all the time, they need to be borderline beating you up or training you something. And sometimes it seems like he's beating you up. I'm not beating you up. Please understand that. But I'm expecting more out of you. What do you get when you expect more out of your kids? You get more. We used to tell Olivia we were going to a different church at the time. It was before we had this one, so obviously we were going somewhere. And I would tell her, you go get up front, whether anybody else does or not. You go up to the front row, and when the music starts playing, you raise your hands, you worship God, whether anybody else is doing it. And then I added, or I'll spank you. And we give her an offering, and put this in the offering bucket. Train your child up in the way they will go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. Now we don't even have to tell her. She puts her offering in the offering bucket. When the music's playing, the hands go up. And she's worshiping God. Sometimes we can't stop her. Right. It's like, we've stopped playing now. It's okay. Glory to God. But it was the threat of abuse that really drove it home. Amen. Drove it home. So, I mean, you know, and God's like this. He disciplines his children. The ones that he's, that means you are his child. If he's disciplining you and saying, shape up, knock it off, fly right, that means he's loves you. He loves you and he wants the best for you. And so he's making those corrections now so you can profit by it. Welcome to church. And I just get to be one of those tools that he gets to use. I'm the messenger boy. And I enjoy it. I joke about that with Olivia, you know. Oh, do I get to spank you now? And she would say, I didn't do anything wrong. And I say, oh, it's too bad.
That's too bad.
That's too bad. Because there's a certain pleasure that you can derive not out of the spanking. You understand? There's a certain pleasure you can derive out of disciplining your child to go in the right direction. Are you here?
Yep.
Did anybody hear that?
Yes.
I don't like this message. Depends which end you're on. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
So like I've said, I want people in this church to know what's going on, be disciplined to go in the right direction, and thrive. I'm more interested in the fruit. Fruits? You want a church full of fruits?
Yes.
No, I want a church full of fruit, not fruits. Because you can have fruit that produces more fruit. And in the fruit is the seed to produce more fruit. But sometimes you have to break that fruit to get at the seeds. All right. Stop me now. Jesus is Lord. Did you? You didn't turn anywhere yet, did you? We're going to get right into this, Mark 10. And I'm not going to be easy on you this morning. I know you're expecting that. Hallelujah. Do you think God's got more in life for you?
Yes.
Or is that it? You had that goosebump that one time. That was great. Woo. No. He's got so much more for you. You can't even stand it now. How many times did Jesus say that? And Paul said that. He says, I have more to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Right? So is there more that you can bear? Yes, but you have to grow to the level of being able to handle it. Say, handle it.
Handle it.
I'm going to handle it. Say, I'm going to handle it.
I'm going to handle it.
Jesus is Lord. You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Verse 29. Hallelujah. Jesus answering said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the what? And the Gospels, but he shall, say shall receive 100-fold when?
Now.
And then just to make that more concrete, he said, in this time. Because people might say, now you mean in heaven? No, now in this time you shall receive. Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
I shall receive now the things that I give into the gospel or give up for the gospel. I shall receive now in this time a 2% return and a gratuity gift and a snack basket. No, what are you going to receive? 100-fold of the same thing that you sowed. Is this scripture? Is this? You see this throughout the whole Bible. And people would say, oh, 100-fold. No, yeah, 100-fold. Who said this? Is it in red in your Bible? Jesus said this. It's not in red in your Bible because you don't have a red letter edition. I understand that. But he said it. You shall. Maybe you don't believe this. I don't know. I guess this doesn't make you happy. You shall receive 100-fold. What does that mean?
100%
increase. It's 100 times as much. When you get to heaven.
No.
Now. Okay. Now in this time, houses. How many houses? Well, it's more than one because it's plural. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, what?
Eternal
life. Can you see how people were sowing these things, expecting to receive now, according to Jesus' words, a hundredfold and. Say a hundredfold. And. Well, this is really good. This is like over the top. I can receive these things now and in the life to come, eternal life. So one of the ways to lay hold on this is to believe for the now and. Go quickly. 1 Timothy 6:12. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Let me pray for a second. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your anointing that is on your word inherently. I thank you that we can enter into your word and into a transaction today where we can come up to a greater level of increase, a greater level of laying hold on eternal life, a greater level of life. For you came to give us life and life in abundance. And we call abundance into every area of our life right now. We speak to abundance. Come forth and be established in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is Lord. Ha 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 ha. Shoo. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold on eternal life. Is it going to take faith to lay hold on this eternal life? So therefore, is it going to take faith to reap your hundredfold now in this time? And is it just going to be a walk in the park? Or is it going to be a fight? It's going to be a fight and a fight of faith. So you're going to have to protect this stuff. You're going to have to protect your seed. You're going to have to protect your faith. That's what you're fighting. You're fighting to keep the things off of it that are trying to take it away and to strip you from your reward. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Because they'll tell you, you can't have it now. Oh, yes, when you go to heaven, we will all be like communists. We all get the same thing. They'll dole out their green uniform as you come in through the gate. And they'll go, what size are you? Here's your size. What size are you? Here's a size. Everybody gets a size. And I walk through that gate. Dip, at ye, ha. No. We're going to lay hold on this life that is eternal. It's now and. Hallelujah. People want to get to the end, and they don't want the now. Well, then they're going to get there, and they're going to go, Jesus will say, where was the now part of this? All you wanted was the and. Okay. Lay hold. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 2 Timothy. Flip over a page or two there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. You there?
Yes.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist.
Yes.
Make full proof of thy ministry.
Yes.
The words I want you to see here is what? Do the work of an evangelist.
Yes.
Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
Did it say you would be an evangelist?
No.
Actually, Timothy wasn't even an evangelist, and it was written to him. He was a pastor. He was Paul's assistant. But he said to what? So this is to everybody. Do the work of an evangelist. And what is the work of an evangelist? It's to evangelize. And he started it out by saying, preach the word. Can you preach the word? Absolutely. You're doing the work of an evangelist. Why? Because you're laying hold on eternal life. This is going to get good. Hallelujah. Listen this morning. I can put something into you. A fire in you that will see the value of winning souls. You can win souls. He that wins souls is wise. Why? Because it's going to add up to your eternal reward. You're laying hold on eternal life. Ah. Preach the word. Do make full proof of thy ministry. Is there a proof to ministry? What was he talking about here? Doing the work of an evangelist. You're putting words into people. And this gets a lot easier than we've made it think, because lots of times we'll choke on it and we'll go, ooh, I'm scared to say something to anybody. But we can do this. He wouldn't tell you to do something that you can't do. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Proverbs 11:30. Mark this down in your Bible. I could just read it, but sometimes you need to see these things. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is what? Stupid?
Wise.
Annoying? So they might think that. You come to tell them something, you say, hey, you need to get saved. You need to make Jesus Lord. They may think you're stupid and annoying. According to the Word of God, you're what?
Wise.
You're wise. You're not one of those Christian believer people. Absolutely. And I'm not stupid or annoying. I am wise. They might not think that right now, but what you're doing is sowing seed into them. They don't know what you're doing. You're literally sowing seed into them. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Everybody say, when I win souls, I'm wise. Now, the flip side of this is let's use some wisdom, and that's the area I'm going to take you into today. Say, oh, goody. Yeah, nobody said that. Can we use wisdom in winning souls? This will say, he that wins souls is wise. Well, you flip that around. That means if you're wise, you'll win souls. And it takes a certain amount of wisdom to win souls. And do we have anyone who can give us wisdom? Do we have a counselor and a comforter? A teacher, an advocate, a standby, a helper? A strengthener? One who anoints us to do good? Well, if we listen to him, we'll be wise and we'll be able to win souls and we will prove ourselves wise. Hallelujah. I almost got all smiley there for a second. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 5-8. To deliver, wait a second, I'm in the wrong page here, 3-5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you what?
Believed.
Ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God.
So then neither is he that plants anything, and neither he that waters, but God gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own what? Reward according to his what? His own labor. Just because the person that you were talking to and sharing something with, maybe you were only led to just share a little bit. You're only led to say, hey, God loves you. Here's $5. You know, whatever you're led to do, you're going to receive a reward according to your own labor, your own work in that, whether you're sowing a seed or harvesting. I had this blatantly played out to me one time. I was down at school, and I was in the parking lot, and we'd come back for a jog. I don't do that much now,
for all that we can tell.
But I came back from a job, and I was talking in the parking lot with one of my roommates. And this guy came up. He was talking. He was going to go, I don't know, he's getting in his car or something. And I was just standing there, and we were, you know, making light conversation. You ever make light conversation with somebody? Hi, how are you? Nice shirt, you know, stuff like this. Nice to meet you. My name's Andrew. What's your name? Blah, 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 blah. Well, it just came upon me, came up in me to say, you need to make Jesus Lord. That's all I said. And I said, I kind of, you know, I don't know if I poked him or not, but I felt like I was poking him. That's all I said. You need to make Jesus Lord. And he said, when you said that, something came all over me. And then I opened the door and we just said, well, this is how you do it. And you say, you know, you need to repent of your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Just old school. And he got saved right there in the parking lot. 2 seconds. Hallelujah. Probably hold the transaction 1 minute. New person in heaven. Now, let me ask you a second. Was I the one sowing seed? Or was I the one doing the reaping? You a reaper. I want to say repped. Is that, I don't know. I reaped. It sounds wrong. Hallelujah. But I was the one to reap in that instance. Someone else sowed seed. So am I going to get all the credit for this? No, I'm going to get according to my reward, or according to my labor. Did I labor much? No. Just poke my finger in his chest. You need to get saved. Just go around doing that. Poke a finger. Get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. So somebody had already sowed seed into this young man. Somebody had probably been watering for. Somebody has probably been praying for him. And I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. The seed had already grown. It was about ready to give some fruit. And I just happened to be there, and God happened to use me. And I said, you need to make Jesus Lord. And voila, he did. He's like, yes, I do. Hallelujah. So we can see that there's people in all different stages. I don't think I got saved the first time I heard about Jesus. I probably thought it was weird. Many times, that's probably what people think. They think you're weird and stupid. Quit telling me this stuff. But you just planted an eternal seed that will not return void. That seed went down in there. Now just water it with some prayer. Water it with some prayer. Water it with some love. Water it with some money. Huh? Yeah. Show them that you love them by giving them something. Let that seed grow up and begin to sprout. You don't want to hack it down right away, do you? Not like mowing the lawn. Keep it short. Keep it short. No. Let it grow up. That's it. I'm not mowing the lawn anymore. No, in this instance, we're trying to grow people up so that we can reap them. So we can harvest them, you understand. Well, for the kingdom of God. You hear? Yes. Hallelujah. Let me read this again. I have planted, verse 6, I have planted Apollos, watered, but God gave the increase. Go back up to verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? Who then is Julia? Who then is Alan? Who am I?
Ministers of the Lord.
Ministers by whom they believed. What did they believe? They believed the word. And where's the labor applied to here? The word. So when you share the word with someone, I don't care what scope or area of the word it is. You're sharing the word with them. You are ministering them something by which they can believe. And that makes you a preacher of the gospel. Because you shared something to them. Now what are they going to be able to believe? God's word. Hallelujah. And it could be in any area. It's still the word of God and it won't return void. You people here? This takes the pressure off of you having to reap a soul every 2 seconds. That can happen, but God's going to have to direct yourself to the people who are ready to be reaped. Right? Otherwise, you're doing what? Sowing seed or watering? You're a minister by whom they believed. Getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Philippians 2:16. So don't get under pressure or something. Oh, they didn't get saved today. Rah, 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 rah. Don't worry about it. The word's growing. How do you get saved? By believing the word. It's the word giving birth on the inside of you anyway. You don't have to force it. You don't have to have a forced birth. What do they call that? Cesarean. You do that, you get something that are preemies. Right? Not fully developed. We want these fully developed. Fully developed natural births here at this church. Don't get carried away with that. Patrick, I won't. Thank you very much. Been there, done that. But what are we talking about? We're talking about people coming into the kingdom. Is this good? Do you want to receive a reward? Now, what's he's talking about? You're going to receive a reward.
Yes.
Oh, just in the sweet by and by? Yeah, then. But that's the and part. We receive a reward now. It says we're going to reap brothers, aren't we? Brothers and sisters and mothers. I think it said wives, but we won't go that far with that one. Hallelujah. Did I tell you to turn anywhere? Philippians 2.
Yeah, 16.
Thank you, Travis. Hallelujah. 2:16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding forth, cramming down people's throat, smacking them upside the head with a Bible, the biggest one you've got, the Dake's reference,
yes,
and the Strong's Concordance. Beating up people with the Word of God. No. Holding forth. Like if you are someone who's a waiter with a big platter of goodies, you hold it forth. But you live it. You live the life, and you hold forth the word of God. You hold forth the word of life. You say, look at how good this is. Would you like one? You can have one. You can have two. You can have the whole tray. What if you're at a party, and you've had enough? And they're bringing these hors d'oeuvres, those scallops wrapped in bacon. Is it almost dinner time? I'll keep these illustrations coming until you start salivating. Scallops, right? I like those. With the toothpicks, with the little fancy things on the end. Those are good, right?
Amen.
What time is it? Let's end this. No. And they come by and they say, would you like one? What do I usually say? Yes, yes please. And then I follow them around. Sometimes I'll take my coat off so I look like a different person. Put a hat on. Reach over their shoulder. Was she forcing me to have this?
No.
We don't have to force anybody anything, but we do hold it forth. This is what, do you see this? Holding forth the word of life. We hold it forth. We say, hey, did you know that if you give, it shall be given unto you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. At the first time, they may say, what? What? That's crazy. That's just a scheme for Jesus to give you his money. For Jesus to get you to give him money. But as you hold that forth, then when they receive it, it begins to produce fruit in them, the word. Then they can act on it and bear fruit in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And then they'll increase in the kingdom. You're laying hold on eternal life. I'm just showing you some of the ways of how to do this. He that wins souls is wise. You don't know how many souls you're winning. And you're going to reap according to your work in it. But I'm saying you don't have to choke everybody. Some you do, but not everybody. Your number one job is to live it so that you have something to hold forth and show them.
Praise God. Yes, hallelujah.
What might that qualify under? That would be your testimony.
Sure.
Does anybody have a testimony? Has God done anything for you? God's done everything for me. Took me out of the mire. Changed me into something completely different than the way I was going in before. And now I'm somebody completely different. That's a testimony. Holding forth the word. So you got to force people, right? No. You got to turn them off by being all belligerent and yelling at them. Get one of those megaphones and yell repent a lot in it. That'll really irritate people. See, I like that. That's a problem. So I need to bring it back a little bit, because that's not what we're trying to do, is turn people off. We're trying to hold forth something that is attractive to them, which life should be, you would think. I set before you. Did God say this? I set before you. I force you. No, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choose these over here. These are good. You ever ask the waiter that? Well, what would you eat? You got all these. What's good? That's God. He's saying choose the life. These, they taste like death, man. Like death warmed over. Don't eat those. Choose life so that you may live. Yes. Who does the choosing?
We do,
or the person you're talking to. So we don't force it down them. We hold forth the word of life on a platter. It's wonderful. There's healing on here. You want some of that? Those are good. I like those. I take those every once in a while. I'll take two or three of those. Oh, and there's some prosperity here, and they're wrapped in bacon. Those are good. I like those with the extra flavor. Does God offer that to you? Oh, absolutely. Oh, and there's eternal life. There's salvation. There's soundness of mind. Oh, I eat those all the time. Those are great. And they don't rot your teeth out. Do we hold this forth? This is what we hold it forth to people. It should be attractive. What if you know, the waiter came out and it's got this gnarly, nasty mess on it that's not attractive at all? You going to take one? You ever have someone open a bottle of milk and go, oh, this is bad, smell it? Like, why would you want to smell it? You're opening, it's bad. You already told me it's bad. Why would I want to smell it? Right. You come out with this nice big platter of rancid milk. Take one, they're bad. You're like, no. So what you're offering should be attractive to people. Unfortunately, we have so much religious garbage, it's not attractive. Did I say that loud enough? I got really loud there for a second. All right. Who wants this religious garbage? It's not attractive. Is it? Do you want it? I don't want it. It turned me off for years and years and years until I heard somebody holding forth something that was attractive, the words of life. And they said that to Jesus. Where else are we going to go? You're the one with the words of eternal life. All these other guys are just religious garbage and want to whack me with a stick. And you do all these laws and stuff, but you're telling me words that make life go down into me, and they're life-changing words. The words you can offer them are the same words that you've used to come out of the junk you are in, and it will minister to them, and it'll affect them, and they will come out, and they will be healed, and they will be delivered, and they will be set free, and they will be prospered. By what? The words of life that come into them. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Go to Mark 4. Holding forth the word of life. He that wins souls is wise. Do you win souls?
I just don't know, brother. I can't. I've never won anybody. I don't know how to do it.
Shut up. Stop that garbage. Stop your mouth from saying that. No. When I talk to people, they hear the word. And it affects them, it changes them, and they do get saved. Yes. Change your confession. You want to change up where you're going? Change the rudder of your boat, which is your tongue. Change what you say about it. I speak words, people get healed. I speak words, people get saved. I speak words, people get prospered and changed. Hallelujah. Yes. I speak words and devils run and flee. Yes. How could that be? It be. Start speaking the words of God to people and expect those words not to return void. Is this good news? Do you see what Pastor is trying to do to you this morning? I'm trying to increase your being able to lay hold on this eternal life so that you don't show up empty-handed. The Bible says that. No one show up before me empty-handed. God doesn't want anybody showing up before him empty-handed. You're going to show up and you're going to have reams of souls. Who, me? Yeah, you. Reams of souls. Can't even get through the gate. Your bag is so big. You got any bags, souls? Been collecting them. Collect souls. Hallelujah. I am a soul collector. All I want is your soul. I know, you're a reaper of souls. Anyway, where did I leave off? Mark 4. I didn't even read it yet. Hallelujah. You people getting anything out of this?
Yes.
I'm telling you, you're getting something out of this. And you're going to be more effective. The words you share with people will be more effective in them after today. Listen, they will be more effective after today, and you're going to see even greater and greater fruit. There's an anointing to do. Do you think there's an anointing to win people to Christ? The Bible says, do the work of an evangelist. There's an anointing here to win people to Christ. The same anointing that goes when I poked that guy in the chest and said, you need to get saved. It's the same anointing. But if it doesn't matter what level it's on, it might not be time to reap. It might just be time to plant. Same anointing. Plant. Water, grow. Who are we? Ministers of the word where people believed. They minister. You're a minister of the word and people are going to believe. Glory be to God forever. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower sows the wind. Now the sower sows the word.
Yes.
What are you sowing? The word. What word? The word. The word. Doesn't matter what on level. How, do you know any word? I guess you're going to be limited by that. You got to know some word to be able to sow to people.
Yeah.
Take them down the Romans road. They only go halfway up the road. Stop there. It's okay. Christ died for you. Me? Yeah, you. See you later. What'd you do? I'm sowing the word. I don't have time here. I'm Johnny Appleseed, you know? I'm sowing stuff. And people are ready to reap, reap them. Reap them. Instant, in season, out of season, doing the work of what? An evangelist. Hallelujah. Brother, I didn't expect to hear this kind of message out of you. Well, hang on. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the what was sown?
Word.
The word is sown, but when they have heard, so there had to be some kind of transaction, right? How did he sow the word? By saying it, because they heard it. Were you forcing them to hear it?
No,
you were simply sowing the word by saying it. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, so endure for but a time afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And what happened every single time? Somebody had to say the word, and someone had to hear the word. That's the one thing that's a continuance through all of these. It's the constant in this equation. Someone said it, someone heard it. Was it the responsibility of the one that said it, the one that sowed the seed, as to how they received the seed? And that's where we get under pressure. Because we're trying to produce a harvest when that's not our job. You will know when the harvest is come. And immediately you'll put in the sickle. Hallelujah. You people here? Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20. Hallelujah. And these are they which are sown on good ground, which hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some what? 100. 100-fold again? Hallelujah. So what's our job in this? We're holding forth the word of life. How are we going to hold it forth? By saying things, by saying words, and people will hear the word. Now, what they do with it, it's really not up to you. So don't get all offended if they, you know, they choke it out. Or they have some excuse. Well, I don't know. I went to church 40 years ago, and I heard that message before. Yeah, that's all right. I love you anyway. It's okay. Just let it sit there. You just watered some seed. You don't know that seed's been growing for 40 years. 40 years. It's like a bonsai tree. Hallelujah. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and 100. In fact, he even cautions you here about the ones who spring up speedily. The ones who spring up speedily, sometimes they have no root and they go away. That's why you'll see a lot of times when a real evangelist comes through and he gives the evangelistic message, and you see, you know, thousands of people come up front, and then you check up on them 2 weeks later and they're not there anymore. What happened? They received it immediately, had no root in themselves, and so endured but for a time, and then when the sun came out, it withered them up. We've all seen this. We're like, what happened to them? We thought they got saved, but then they're not living the life. No root. So don't be concerned about that. Don't be concerned by what you see. Are we faith people here? Are we supposed to believe what we see or believe what we believe the word says? So in our reaping, is this going to be any different in the work of an evangelist? No, we're going to sow the word and believe that it does the thing that we sent it to. Okay, follow me here. Go down to Isaiah 55. 10. And besides, what reward are you reaping? I hope you saw that. What reward are you? You're reaping according to your labor anyway. Regardless of the fruit that was produced there, you're reaping according to your labor. That's why you should always squeak it in. How you doing? Thank you. You're going to be doing this now, aren't you, when you go to pay your dollar at the toll booth? Yeah. Hey, Jesus is Lord. Jesus loves you. See you. Thank you. You wonder why you're thanking him is because you just reaped a little reward. You're watering his seed. You could have fun with this, people. I don't know. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. For as the heavens, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it what? It my word. It my word shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. What's he talking about here? His words. His word that proceeds out of his mouth. Well, who's his mouth now? You are. You're his mouth. You're the body of Christ. You're his mouthpiece. You're his messenger boy and girl. You're going to say his words. Now, wouldn't it be good if you believed at least what God said about his words? That if you said, he said his word won't return void. So if you speak your word into a situation, into a person, what are you going to believe? That word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which he pleases. It will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. Is this good news?
It's good news.
What's going to prosper? Your emotional stress that you place on the situation. The pressure that you put on the situation. What's going to prosper? God's word is going to prosper. In the person that heard it. It's prospering right now. Say the word.
Word.
Is prospering.
Is prospering.
In me.
In me.
Now.
Now.
It's going to produce.
It's gonna produce.
What God sent it to produce.
God sent it to produce.
Have you heard any word this morning?
Yes.
Yes, we have.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
What's it going to produce? That which God sent it to produce. You're going to win souls, and you will be wise. You're also going to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Why? Because of God's word. It's all about the word. Hallelujah. God is an equal opportunity employer. He is. He doesn't, you know, the Bible says, you know, he doesn't discern between faces. He doesn't choose between one and another. He's equal with his word. Now, we can take his word and go as far as we want with it. But he holds forth the same word of life. Do you have the same Bible on your lap that you have on your lap?
Yes.
How come one of you can do something with it and then the other one nothing? Why? How could that be? Because God is sovereign. He knows. No, it's because the person made a choice. Remember, we were talking about giving. It was we give according to what we purpose in our heart. We can go as far with this as we want. And you can go as far with this message today as you want. How much seed? You know, God, did God limit you on the amount of seed that you can sow according to his word? No. Sow it everywhere you go. Water it everywhere you go. Does that mean they have to come to this church? Absolutely not. You're working for the kingdom, right? If they don't have a good church to go to, well, then of course I think they should come here, especially if they want to run fast, jump high. Hallelujah. Watch your sneakers to church. Don't know when you need to run. I might need to run. Hallelujah. But how fast are we going to run? Right? We're not going to patty cake here. We never have, never will. Unless there's a slap at the end of it. Yeah. We do it different. We go patty cake, slap. Hallelujah. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I just wanted to point this one thing out here. There's obviously a lot more in this, but we're kind of getting down to time when we got to go find our scallops wrapped in bacon. No man can come to me, who? Jesus, making Jesus Lord, unless the Father draws him. So we've got some things going on behind the scenes here. We've got you being a minister of the word, telling people that God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He's telling you these things. We're telling people these things. Now on the backside of this, we have to have the Father drawing them. How's that going to happen? You ever heard of prayer? Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Well, what if you were to ask the Father, which is a whatsoever, ask the Father if he would draw so-and-so. And so that when you go and you plant that seed and you say, Father, in Jesus' name, draw this person. Draw them to you. Draw them towards you. I've planted seed. Now draw them, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name. Do we have whatsoever we pray? When we ask the Father in Jesus' name, absolutely. Do you see this? Oh, now we're giving them a double whammy. Not only are we planting incorruptible seed that will not return void, we're praying the word that asks the Father to draw them. He that wins souls is wise. Is this a wise way of doing this? Sow seeds, pray. Sow seeds, pray. How many of you do this? You go, you talk to somebody and say, hey, you know, I don't care what the situation is. God wants to help you in this situation. If that's as far as you can get with that person, then that leave it there and then pray for them. Father, draw them. Draw them to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
He that wins souls is wise. Now you're watering the seed, you've planted the seed, and someone is going to come along at the right time and reap that harvest. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Go to 1 Timothy 2. Almost done here. He that wins souls is wise. Can we do this? Can we enter into heaven with something more than our own soul?
Absolutely.
We can enter in there with crowns laid up. Hallelujah. With a situation all ready for us. I'm excited about this. And that's the and part. Now and. You there? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for two people. How many? Come on. That's ridiculous. For all men? All men. And he's going to tell you this in a minute, right? Women too. Whoa, man. Woman. Mankind. All mankind. What? Prayers, supplications, thanksgivings, intercessions. Jesus is Lord. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is what?
Good
and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Who? Verse 4. Who will have
all men.
Only the people that he is predestined.
No, all men.
Boy, I got on somebody's toes there. Who God is predestined to be saved?
Mm.
No. Who will have all men to be saved? Is it God's will for Cranky Joe to get saved? How do you know? What if you don't know? What if it's not in his predestined plan? It is God's will for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That means you. That means you. That means every single one. That means me. Say, that means me. It is God's will that I come to the knowledge of the truth. All men. Yeah, but what if they're atheists? All men. Yeah, what if they're monkey people that believe in evolution? All men.
All men.
All men. All men. It is God's will for all. That means you. That means me. It is God's will for us to come to the knowledge of the truth, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, he started this off by saying what? Pray for them. Well, how are they going to come to the knowledge of the truth if nobody sows any truth into them? So we're praying for people. And then we're saying to people the truth. Just tell them the truth. Just tell them your testimony. Just tell them something that God's told you recently. It's truth. Let the truth come forth. Let the truth come forth. You know, and you can hold that platter out. And the longer you walk in this life and the greater things that you're living on, the more you can have on that platter. There's healing on the platter, wrapped in bacon. There's deliverance on the platter, also wrapped in bacon. Matter of fact, everything on the platter is wrapped in bacon. Because it's my platter and I happen to like that. Hallelujah. Yeah, but it's not God's will for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, why doesn't everybody come to the knowledge of the truth? Must not be God's will. Wrong. There are many things that hinder that from happening. Let it not be us hindering it. Let us be the ones that are believing God, praying for all men. Pray for them. And then hold forth the word of life to them. Number one, live the word of life, and number two, hold forth the word of life to them and pray for them that the Father will draw them to take something off of that platter.
Yes.
And then direct them to it.
Yep.
Choose life. Choose life so that you can live. You can live. We're influencers. Is that a word? We influence people. And the farther we can go in this, the more influence we can have on people. And the more people we can have influence on. That's why now in this time we want 100-fold. And in the life to come, eternal life. We're laying hold on it. I'm almost done. Hang on. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save righteous people. Sinners. Why didn't he come into the world to save righteous people? Well, number one, there weren't any. Number two, they wouldn't need to get saved because they're already saved. So Jesus himself came into the world to do one thing. That's to reap souls. Why? So he can lay them up in store for eternal life. Did he come here with one purpose in mind? To lay hold on this eternal life thing and to take as many people with him as he can. And he got them healed. And he got them delivered. And is he reaping part of the reward for his labors?
Absolutely, King of Kings.
Hallelujah. Same deal we've got. Except we didn't have to go to the cross. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. To me, we get the better part of the deal. For sure. And now we can hold forth the word of life to how many men?
All men.
Well, I don't like them. Tough. Who are you?
Yeah.
Well, I don't like the way they think or look or smell. So what? Since when are you the smell discriminator? Your job remains the same. Hold forth the word of life, especially if people ask you. My goodness. They ask you. They say, why are you so happy and everybody else is all grumpy and down mouth? Well, I'm glad you asked. How much time you have? I'll either give you the short story or the long one. But either way, you're going to get an earful of what? You're going to get an earful of the word. Why? Because it's not what you think about it. It's the word that's going to affect that person. It is the word that's going to grow up in them and give birth to a brand new creature.
Praise God.
Supernatural.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Do the work of an evangelist. This is for all of us, not just for me. Well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to... No, that's not what he was saying here. You do it. And you don't have to force it down their throats. That's my job. No. You hold it forth. Hold forth something that's attractive. Don't put your dirty underwear up on there. Alan. No. Nobody wants that mess. Put the stuff on there that's attractive to people. Did you know God will deliver you from debts?
Yes.
Did you know that? Let me show you in the word where God will deliver you from all of your debts. You know, Jesus didn't even preach salvation to most of the people. He preached healing. Because they couldn't get saved until after he had died and rose again from the dead. So what did he do? He went about preaching the kingdom and healing. They weren't righteous. They were sinners. He came to heal sinners. So if they're balking over this eternal life thing because they think they were, you know, cousins of a rabbit or something, then show them in the word of God that God's will is to heal you now. I'm living in divine health. How about you? Would you like some of that? Look, this platter, it's wrapped in bacon. Oh, I like healing wrapped in bacon. It's my favorite. God, it's God's will to heal you.
Yes.
It's God's will to prosper you.
Yes.
It's his will that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. And at some point, they're on the slippery slope, people. Oh,
yes.
Whoa, they're going to fall in and get saved.
Yes.
And baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And follow God.
Yes.
But it all comes the same way by the word of life being presented to them. Somebody had to hold it forth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
All right. Did I read that? 1 Timothy 1:15, I believe so. I'm going to read it again because I can.
Yes.
This is a faithful what?
Saying.
It's a faithful thing to say.
Yes.
You want to be found faithful? When Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant, this is a faithful thing to say. Say, say.
Say,
say, say, say. Say,
say, say, say.
This is a faithful thing to say. Boy, I wish the Bible would tell me something faithful to say. Oh, if it was just written in black and white, that I could find something, anything faithful to say. Well, hold forth that. Here is it. Here it be. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. So this would be a good thing to accept, for people to accept. Do you accept this?
Yes.
that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Would that be a good thing to say to somebody?
Yeah.
Of whom I am chief? I'm not Mr., you know, put myself up on a pillar here. So you can kiss my rings or whatever. Is that a good thing to say to people? Jesus Christ came in to save sinners. It's not what you've done or haven't done. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I've sinned as much as you. Well, maybe not. Yeah, it's probably as much. Am I proud of it? No. But Jesus came to save me. It qualifies me, you understand. I would not be qualified for salvation if I was Mr. Righteous. Because I wasn't Mr. Righteous, I got qualified.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What did you qualify? How did you qualify for salvation? Well, I really don't want to say. But it qualifies me because I sinned. Which means Jesus came and paid the price for me so that I can know him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Is this good news? There's he that wins souls wise. Hallelujah. Why? Because now in this lifetime he's going to reap of his reward 100-fold and in the life to come. I had other scriptures I was going to show you that these people were actually the crowns that Paul talked about. He said, you are my reward. You are my reward in heaven. When I get there, you'll be my reward. Hallelujah. It's a great life we get to live. And it's a great life we get to present and hold forth to other people. This is great. Have you had these? They're wrapped in bacon, for goodness sakes. They're great. This is not a crappy life. This is great. And it's going to get greater and better and better. And we'll be able to hold more and more forth to people until the platter is so big you got to have servants to help you carry it around. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for us right now. Father, we desire to be wise winners of souls. Right now, I pray for an impartation and an anointing to come upon each and every one of us to quicken us with wisdom, with words of life, that we can hold forth words to people everywhere we go, water people everywhere we go, and reap people everywhere we go as you see fit and as you anoint us for this purpose. I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.